In the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 5, this is the mark of a true man of God, 2 Corinthians 5. He says in verse 9, we have an ambition. It's good to have an ambition, provided your ambition is heavenly and not earthly. If you have an earthly ambition, to be highly educated, good job, it's okay, but there's nothing spiritual about that. And even if you got it, it doesn't mean anything. We have an ambition, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, to be well-pleasing to God. See, if you really want to be well-pleasing to God, you have to have an ambition for it. Just like these people in the world have an ambition. Somebody goes into business and he has an ambition to become a millionaire, for his business to prosper, to open many shops. Or he has an ambition when he goes into athletics to win the gold medal at some games or to represent the country in the Olympics. There's ambition, ambition. Everybody has an ambition. People who study science or athletics or play cricket or they want to get into the Indian cricket team. Ambition, ambition. Here's Paul also says, I have an ambition too. My ambition is not all these earthly things. I don't want to get into any football team or to take part in the Olympics. I want to be well-pleasing to God. Paul was a full-time Christian worker and his ambition was not, well, God should meet all my earthly needs so that at the end of my life I can say, yes, I trusted the Lord. I never mentioned my needs to anybody and God met all my earthly needs. That was not his ambition. That was just a byproduct. His ambition was at the end of my life, not that God has met all my earthly needs, but that I've been well-pleasing to God so that I stand before the Lord one day and he says to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you have that ambition? That was Paul's ambition. Now I'll show you the example of somebody who was well-pleasing to the Father. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. The same word you find, well-pleasing, well-pleasing to the Father. Matthew chapter 3, we read about Jesus coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. And verse 16, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, Matthew 3:16, and the heavens were opened. And verse 17, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did he say about the Israelites in the wilderness? I am not well pleased. You see the contrast? And here, what did he say about Jesus? I am well pleased. He said that about the Israelites after 40 years in the wilderness. I am not well pleased. He said about Jesus after 30 years in Nazareth. I am well pleased. Now see the contrast. The Israelites experienced supernatural miracles every single day for 40 years. Not well pleased, God says. Jesus experienced zero miracles for 30 years. I am well pleased. How do you explain that? That God is well pleased with a person who prayed, Jesus prayed every day, I'm sure. He prayed for 30 years and never experienced one supernatural miracle. Never healed one sick person. Never spoke in tongues. In fact, in his whole life, he never spoke in tongues. Can God be well pleased with somebody who never speaks in tongues in his whole life? The Pentecostals will say no. I say yes. Greatest example is Jesus. Can God be well pleased with a person who never once in his life had a supernatural answer to prayer? Yes, Jesus. Now, if I were to ask you, have you had a supernatural answer to prayer? Even though you haven't, you will cook up something and say that was a supernatural answer because you want that testimony. I also got a supernatural answer. Why is there that lust to exaggerate some answer you got to prayer to make it sound supernatural. I'll tell you. Because you feel in your heart that unless God does something supernatural, He's not happy with you. Rubbish. Look at Jesus. And compare Him with the Israelites. Well pleased? Not well pleased. Let's get this clearly in our mind, because you'll never hear this in any other church. And I'm showing it to you from Scripture. Paul said, we have an ambition to be well pleasing to the Father. And who was his example? Not the Israelites, but Jesus. So, what was it that made Jesus well pleasing to the Father? Well, we know. Hebrews 4:15, well-known verse in CFC. He was tempted in all points as we are, but he never sinned. What did the Israelites experience every day for 40 years? Supernatural experience, manna from heaven, supernatural healing, water from the rock, a cloud always protecting them from the sun in the desert. You know, that was one of the functions of the pillar of cloud. It was like a big cloud that gave them a shade. It's terrible walking through a desert, but there was always this shade. And at night, a fire that lit up their compound all night. Boy, that's real protection. No wild animals would come near that. Every day, supernatural protection. What did Jesus have every day? Tempted, but did not sin. Next day, tempted, but did not sin. The next year, tempted, but did not sin. 30 years. Do you see the difference between Jesus and the Israelites? In one case, it was overcoming temptation every single day. In the other case, it was experiencing miracles every single day. Now I want to ask you, my dear brothers, tell me honestly, honestly, which do you want? If you're given a choice, God says, I will give you supernatural miracles every day, but you'll never get rid of your grumbling and complaining and murmuring and fear and anxiety and all. But every day you will experience a miracle. Do you want that life? Or do you want a life where you'll never experience any miracle? No answers to prayer, but you'll overcome sin. You'll never grumble. You'll never complain. You'll never watch pornography. You'll never lust after a woman. You'll never lose your temper. You'll never love money. You will love your enemies. You will be able to bless those who curse you. But you'll never experience a supernatural miracle. How many of you feel honestly from deep down in your heart and say, Lord, that's what I want? That proves what your ambition is. I'm just trying to show, give you a scan. A scan of your heart so that you don't deceive yourself that you're spiritual because you can... like the Corinthians have a lot of knowledge. I'm pretty sure the Corinthians could sing well as well. They had knowledge, they had gifts to sing, and they had gifts to do all types of things. But they were not pleasing to God. I know what I want. I remember once when I read this about Jesus, the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And a great longing came in my heart. And I said, Father, in heaven, can you please say that about me? Can you look at my life and say, as you watch my life every day, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Or if you're a girl, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. I tell you that such a terrific longing in my heart that I said, Lord, I don't care if I lose everything. I don't want money. I don't want house. I don't want anything. I don't want even ability to speak. I don't even want health. You can make me dumb. You can make me paralyzed. I only want that you should be able to look at my daily life and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And I know that because that has become my ambition, God's begun to help me in that area. I'll tell you honestly, I don't look for miracles. If God does them, well and good. If He doesn't do it, that's fine. That's fine with me. I don't want to be able to testify somewhere, this thing happened and I had a supernatural healing. Maybe some of you experienced that. Good. Do you boast about it? Bad. That's worse. What you experienced was good. But the moment you began to speak too much about it, it ruined everything. Like I say, the miracle you got was a good chicken curry. But then you put a dead lizard into it by boasting about it, and that was the end of it. You spoiled the whole thing. You should have left it as it is. So many situations like that we see. If your passion in life is to be well-pleasing to the Father, you will know God in such a way that other Christians will never know.